I would think, you know, if people come to the gallery and they expect to see something that maybe looks native, they may not see that.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because your pieces are so abstract. They're not what, I don't know, a lot of people might classify as, quote, native art. There's a different look to them.
And you know, I used to get requests from family and friends, and oftentimes they would say, well, you know, paint me a bear, or paint, could you paint a wolf, or could you put an eagle in that, or, you know, paint something that looks Native American. And for a while I did that, but it just wasn't a part of my thinking. Mm-hmm. And my brain just didn't want to go there. And so I think you may not see pieces that look, have a Native American theme, but it's up to the interpretation.
Right.
You know, I'm happy. I have to paint what I paint. I've learned that. And that was a process, a big process over time, because I always thought I had to paint what other people like. Well, not necessarily. But one of my favorite artists is George Morrison. And he, you know, he said, and he was an abstract artist. His saying was, and it made so much sense to me. He said, you know, I'm not a Native American artist. I'm an artist who happens to be Native American. And for me, that was permission for me to follow my own direction without feeling like I have to paint something that fits into this category. For me, that made sense, and it just felt good. You know, thank you if you do like my paintings, but I paint now for myself and what I see and the vision I see and the feelings that I feel. And so I think that those inner feelings that I can express on canvas, that's what honors, I believe, my Native American heritage.
That is Kent Esty. He is a contemporary Native artist. He is a teacher at the Charter School in Natahwash, where he teaches technology, art, and robotics. His artwork is included in a collaborative exhibit at the Mekonon Gallery inside the Watermark Art Center. That show is called Madwewe. It means it is heard. Kent and I talked about his artwork, his family life, and about an upcoming artist talk that he'll be conducting February 7th called Picking Sweetgrass with Ma.
I would call myself a contemporary landscape artist. That kind of feels good or sounds good to me. I don't really paint, you know, pictures. So I guess I don't interpret them that way. I guess I would paint reflections, colors. Sometimes I see a piece of time, dreams maybe, or feelings. Sometimes you will see in my paintings a very calm feeling attached to it. And then depending on the weather and the season, sometimes they can be full of broad motions and lots of movement.
Yeah, there is a lot of movement in your work.
Yeah,
and it's not realism, so to say.
No, it's not. It's not realism. Living where we live, my inspiration comes from the sky. I love being near water. So looking in the water, that's oftentimes are the best places of inspiration for me. The sunsets are beautiful where we live, and the mornings are beautiful, and I always kind of go with that feeling of, wow, that needs to be painted, or wouldn't that make a pretty picture? Mm-hmm. But when I start thinking that way, that's what I put down. That's what I try to put down on canvas. That's ultimately my inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been more abstract in nature, and that just feels right for me. Seemingly, the older I get, I'm giving myself the permission to do things differently and also use different mediums. Yeah. When I first started painting, I painted with oils. And now I'm moving more toward acrylics. And a lot of times I will start, like I say, I don't really use a picture for reference. What I'll do is, you know, it will be, I just start laying down some paint, and then it goes from there. Oftentimes, I catch myself starting at the bottom of a painting and working my way up. I usually kind of move from left to right, from bottom to top. And then there's also my current work. I've added some circular movement as well. So, you know, that's been interesting and fun to do with my most recent paintings.
Yeah. How come the shift to acrylics?
Well, it has to do, to be real honest with you, it has to do with being enclosed. So if you're not in an area that's well ventilated, working with oil paint can be toxic in some situations because you're working with turpentine and things like that for cleanup. So acrylic is, you know, it's much easier to clean up.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was hard for me to move to acrylic because I had worked with oils ever since I was a teenager. But I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go this route and see what this is all about. And I'm really enjoying acrylics right now simply because it dries so quickly, which I like. And I'm learning to move the paint like I used to be able to do with oils. And so, and also there's this paint that's called high-flow acrylics. So I've been using high-flow acrylics, inks, and also metallics. So that's been fun to add to my most recent work.
Do you kind of incorporate all those in pieces together?
I have. Yes, I have. And, you know, it's all about moving the paint on the canvas. Oil was very easy to move. Many, many, many benefits of using oil, especially because you can go back the next day and continue to work or scrape it all off, you know. So, but I'm enjoying where I'm at today and the mediums that I'm working with. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to go back to oils because I've used them. Last summer, I guess it was, I also started adding another dimension to my work. I started incorporating some copper wire, pieces of hardware and stone, and those pieces were a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed doing them.
Did you grow up in White Earth?
I did, yeah. I've lived on the same piece of property now for 58 years, so I grew up on the reservation, went to school in Natahwash, and now I'm teaching in the same building where I went to school in elementary school. The only time I really left was when I went to Bemidji State.
What did you study? Art?
Well, I tell you what. Here's what happened. So I'm walking through the halls of Bemidji State. I'm in the old art building and walking down the hall because my intent was to go to school for art or teaching art. And I walked by and I looked in the classrooms and I thought, I think I got scared, you know, and I just kept walking. And so I ended up walking away and until I found the radio station. And so I stopped there, went in, and that's where I ended up. So I ended up with a mass comm major and public relations major. And I didn't take any art classes. You know, examining it now, I guess I was probably scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I didn't think that, you know, what I was painting at the time, you know, had a message, you know. So I think that was ultimately it. And so I probably missed out on a lot of very important things that it could be using today, because I know Bemidji State has a wonderful art education program.
Right. Well, but you come from kind of a long line of self-taught artists anyway.
Yeah, my grandmother, my dad, my siblings, they all were black ash basket makers. My brother continues to do that today, and his work is beautiful. My grandmother picked up She used to make black ash baskets when she was young, and they were used just as everyday items in the home for collecting berries or sewing baskets or whatever. It wasn't until she was quite elderly that people actually started buying them. And then when she was in her 80s, she was still continuing to make her baskets, but she just couldn't keep up with the orders.
Wow.
By that time, she was pretty well known. Presidents have her baskets and congressmen. She was at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., where she demonstrated her baskets. So here she was at 84 years old, hauling her basket log and hammers and axe on a plane, you know, heading for Washington, D.C.
What's her name? What was her name?
Her name was Josephine Robinson.
I'm talking with Kent Estee. He is a contemporary Native artist who lives in Natahwash on the White Earth Reservation. His work is included in a collaborative show called Mad Weiwei at the Mekonon Gallery inside the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji.
My parents were also both professional sewers, so there was constantly sewing going on in our home, lots of crafts. We would make items out of birch bark during the summer months, and we would sell those to primarily Itasca State Park. A lot of birch bark work. Also, I grew up in a family of seven, and everybody played an instrument of some kind, whether it be piano or accordion, guitar. We had harmonica and all these different instruments. So even back then, everybody played a role, or everyone had some way of expressing themselves, you know, through the arts.
Wow, that sounds pretty amazing, like an amazing way to grow up.
It was, really was. My dad was also an inventor, so he was always coming up with new ways of doing things, and so it was always very interesting. They really encouraged us to express ourselves. Mm. That was very important growing up.
Well, that encouragement has paid off. You've got pieces in a collaborative show called Mad Weiwei at the Mekonon Gallery inside the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji. What can you say about the pieces in the show?
The pieces that I have in the gallery, you'll see a lot of abstract landscapes and seascapes. You'll see some that have lots of movement. You'll see some that are very calm. You'll see some that are very geometric in nature. And you'll also see pieces that incorporate, like I talked about earlier, stone, copper, and even rock from the north shores of Lake Superior. So there's going to be a variety there, and I hope people look at those pieces and they take a moment to stop and think about what they're seeing. And hopefully it sparks, those pieces spark a conversation. I think that's the most important thing as an artist. And so, you know, I want people to stop and look. One thing that I found really fun is to share some of those pieces on social media, because people react, and it's so much fun for me to hear what people see, because it's always different, and everyone sees something. And I tell people, they'll ask, they say, well, is that a boat? Is that a marina? Is that a wolf? And they can be looking at the same piece, and I say, well, if you see it there, then it is.
Right.
You're right. So, you know, that's the most interesting part of what I do, is hearing from people. So it's always fun to hear what others say and what they think. And like I said, I hope some of these pieces start a conversation about what they see.
So let's talk about taking conversations. Mm-hmm. You're doing an artist talk And it's titled Picking Sweet Grass with Ma. That's how it's being billed. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Going back to a piece that I wrote when I was working on my master's, I wrote a piece about my grandmother and honoring her basketry and also honoring the way she did things and the way she taught her grandchildren. And so my story begins with, as a child, a memory of mother saying, meet Ma out in the field, because she was coming to visit. And so I walked, and there she was picking sweetgrass, because she used sweetgrass in her baskets. And so she took a long time, and she would pick these strands of sweetgrass. They're individual strands amongst all the millions of other pieces of draw and whatnot that's in the field. But she would find these individual pieces of sweet grass, and she taught me. First, I wanted to just reach out and grab whatever was there, and I pulled it up, a big handful, and she goes, no, you have to pick these individually. She said, here, pick this one and smell it. She said, there's a difference. You can smell the sweet grass. And that's why she used that in her basketry. And so I start talking about her basketry as an artist, but also there was a newspaper article that was written, I think it was in 1978, about her life living and working on the White Earth Reservation in the early 1900s. She was a product of the boarding school era. So she did a wonderful article talking about her life going through boarding schools, her life working on the reservation and losing her land, and those stories that were so powerful. And so I didn't hear these stories until I was a teenager, and I was able to sit down and do some interviews with her. But she had articles in the Minneapolis Star and Trib. She was featured in the Minnesota Volunteer, numerous publications. One of the reasons was because she was the eldest person in the Natchitoches community at that time. But it was primarily because of her art. And then that led to interviews, and then that led to telling these powerful stories. So what I'm hoping to do that day is talk about picking sweetgrass, but going deeper than just her art and talking about some of those powerful statements that she made about life on the reservation in the early 1900s as she was growing up.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and then I did a piece dedicated to her. It's a collage piece, and it took me a long time because I didn't know how to present these powerful words from these articles. And so I'm going to be showing that piece that night, and I hope people will come and listen.
Yeah.
It's not always easy. The conversation that she had with the writer isn't a joyful story. There's a lot of loss there. And her life wasn't filled with regrets. It wasn't filled with hatred or anger. All I knew about her was this beautiful grandmother who made these beautiful baskets. And here there was this whole other story of the hardships that she'd been through as a Native person living on the White Earth Reservation.
That is Kent Esty. You can see his abstract artwork in the Mekonon Gallery inside the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji. It will be up from now until March 30th. Kent will be at the Mekonon tonight, Friday, January 11th, between 5 and 7 p.m. for an artist reception. And you can also catch him February 7th at 6 p.m. for that artist talk he was just talking about called Picking Sweetgrass with Ma. Did you think you'd end up back home?
Home always calls. You know, I really believe that. So I didn't think of going anyplace else but back home. I knew I wanted to work with kids, and so I knew that home was the place to do that, and especially on my own reservation. What an honor to be able to work on your own reservation with your own people. And that's how I see it. This is an honor. Same way with my art. Being recognized, being in the gallery, is such an honor to be able to do that.
Thanks to Kent Esty for taking the time to talk with me. And thank you for listening to Area Voices here on Northern Community Radio. I'm Katie Carter. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.